Yes, yes, it's time.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Boys and girls.
Moms and dads. Little
all
kids.
All over the world.
Ooh, oh, you made a rhyme. Look at you, talented lady.
Well, you know.
Podcast. And this is Kristen and Natalie. And we are bringing you a very special guest today.
And not only special, but beautiful. So,
yeah.
You know, we will give you the full breakdown so that your eyeballs can be imaginarily delighted, but we'll start with the intro.
Okay. So Miata Ndoga is the creator of Abundance Bound. She is an actress and she is on a mission to help artists know they can break through that myth of being a starving artist. She is all about your financial health and your relationship you have to your own abundance. She changed my financial life like 10 or 11 years ago. I called her and I was like, help me. And she radically changed my financial foundation by giving me tools that I so desperately needed. And I'm really excited for her to get to meet our community. And I'm also really excited for Miata and Natalie to fall in love. No pressure on this phone call.
Oh, I love falling in love. And now let me tell you, we can tell you via our special guest that abundance comes in many forms. Here's the abundance of beauty that I'm looking at right now. There are long, beautiful dreads that have this little ombre, beautiful, like there's like a golden pink something happening. Ooh. At the bottom of those dreads that is giving me life. There are the biggest, whitest teeth with the biggest, most beautiful smile I have ever seen. The most creamy, lovely skin. And a green shirt that I want to rip off of her body. It might be a dress, but it's gorgeous.
A little bit of a dress, yes.
Welcome and thank you for being on our podcast. And I'm so happy to meet you.
Oh my gosh, you guys, I now want to do this every week. I want to
yes!
do this, you guys, every week. It's like a dance party.
That's exactly what it is. All we do is we dance and we laugh. And then we kind of talk about, you know, deep stuff.
Oh, well, I'm so happy, so, so happy to be here. I think that you both are giving a gift to the creative community. And it brings me a lot of joy to get to be a tiny piece of that.
Oh, well, I could sing your praises all day long. I think you're a genius. And I think the work you do on the planet is really incredible. And I was like, create community has to know who you are. Like, I think people are going to flip out because I do think, you know, you and I were having a conversation earlier this week about how our relationship with our finances, our relationship with our abundance is something that we can like let slide. We can let that relationship get a little toxic. Mm-hmm. And so I would love for you just to share with our community how you came to the realizations that you did about abundance and like where your journey started.
Oh gosh. Yeah. Because if you had said 20 years ago, guys, that I was going to be teaching artists, but frankly, anybody about money, I would have laughed at you because, you know, math wasn't my thing. It would never have occurred to me. But fundamentally, what happened was that I studied to be an actor, and I am so passionate about acting, and I fell in love with Shakespeare in college, and I went and I trained at a conservatory in London, and I was just like, this is what I'm supposed to do, right? And I came out to Los Angeles to play a tiny role in a movie. And I decided to stay out here and try and build my career. And guys, I really quickly got in massive financial trouble. Like massive. Like really, really bad. And, you know, it was sort of shocking to me because I thought, I'm a smart, powerful woman, but like no one ever taught me anything about money, nothing. And so when I came out here to pursue a creative career where, like, let's just be straight, it's not like you get a paycheck every week and the paycheck is exactly the same. And it's not like you spend exactly the same way every week. And I just had no idea how to negotiate it, right? So to make a long story short, I got in a lot of trouble. Like at rock bottom, I was almost $80,000 in credit card debt. I was crying every month, barely able to pay my bills. I had a horrible thing happen where I was actually doing a play and I nearly missed a curtain with an audience because I got stuck at a day job. Like, horrible, like really actually nearly missed a curtain. And I just, I had what I believe now was a nervous breakdown, where I, once I stopped crying, I realized I either had to figure this money stuff out or I had to quit, right? The idea that I was in any way sustaining my art, it just wasn't so. And I decided at that point, like I was like, quitting is not an option, right? This is truly what I believe I'm supposed to do. And it was like, so I got to figure this money piece out. And so what happened was that I started learning. Like I really went out there and said, I am going to figure this out. And as I started learning, I said to myself, someone should have taught me this. Someone should teach every actor this, every artist, every creative who has a story in this to put out into this world should be empowered, not just around our art, but also around our money. And so that was what had me start Abundance Bound. And, you know, Abundance Bound, we started 16 years ago, which I can hardly believe. And we're a financial education company specifically for actors, artists, and creative professionals. So, you know, Natalie, I was listening to you guys' this podcast, and I heard you say, I'm not going to say it right, but I heard you say that a coach or a teacher told you once, like, you don't want a coach who's like up at the top of the mountaintop and like, oh, look at me, right? You're like, you want a coach who's like just ahead of the trail, right? Who's like, oh, don't trip and fall into that hole. And that to me, I was like, that is absolutely where I believe coaching needs to come. And it's absolutely where we come from at Abundance Bound. It's not like we're ever done, right? Like we're always working on our relationship with money. I just feel like maybe I've learned some things that can help you avoid the hole, the tree stump, the, yeah.
I have so many questions. I am so excited. This is going to be a 5-hour podcast. Okay. My first question is, when you found yourself in that $80,000 of debt, what was that first mind shift or action step that you had to take, or that first moment, you know, because that's that rock bottom moment where it's like sink or swim. What was that first clarifying moment and the first action step that came out of that for you?
So I think the first moment of clarity for me was the, I was not serving my art. I think that was the, because what I believe, guys, is that for a really long time, what I had told myself was that everything I was doing was about serving my art, right? So the 11 part-time jobs and the never getting any sleep, like that I was serving my art. I was serving my art, right? And what I realized was that I was actually failing my art. And that was a very painful, but it was also like an awakening because I love my art. And so I was like, I got to stop doing that. So then when you say what action, it was, okay, what I'm doing isn't working, right? So there's got to be stuff I don't know, because it clearly isn't, you know, it's not just about working hard. I was working hard, right? Like I was working nonstop. So I was like, okay, so clearly that's not enough. There's something about money that I'm not understanding. And so for me, my first action steps literally were probably like Barnes and Noble's, I don't have any money, so I'm not buying these books. But thank goodness, you know, it had become that friendly place where you could take the stack of books to your desk and you could sit there and just read. And I just like started taking notes. And I wish I could say there was an order to it. But at first, it was pretty haphazard. Like, let me see what's been written out there and how I might apply it to me.
So when an actor or an artist comes in and says, okay, I'm in debt, I'm, you know, trading my time for dollars, I'm not able to serve my art because I'm so exhausted all the time, I feel like I'm at the end of my rope, I feel like I'm underwater, where do you start with someone?
We start with clarity, like getting clear, right? So I told this to Kristen in a conversation we had on Friday, but I believe, Natalie, that we are always operating in one of two cycles. I think we're either operating in the pain cycle or we're operating in the power cycle, right? And what I believe distinguishes those two things is clarity, right? So I think that when I'm in the pain cycle, my emotions are driving. They are literally driving the car, right? And so that person that you described, who I can like instantly connect with because I was that person, emotion is driving. What's the emotion? Fear, just upset, sadness, I'm failing, right? I don't understand, confusion, like all of the emotions are driving the car, right? And so we have to shift from the pain cycle to the power cycle. And the way that we do that is by getting information and getting clarity. So I don't try to pretend that you're going to be $80,000 in debt and be able to feel happy about it, that you're going to be able to sort of, you know, breathe it away. Because at the end of the day, $80,000 in debt is scary, right? And so we're not going to tell you that you have to work to sort of not feel the emotions. What we are going to do is we're going to say emotions, you can get in the back seat, right? You can stay in the car, but you cannot drive, right? So what we're going to sit down and figure out is we are going to figure out exactly where you are financially right now. When you say, I feel like I'm upside down, what does that actually mean? How much money are you spending? Where is that money going exactly? How much is coming in on average, right? Because we're not those people who get the same paychecks, but how much money is coming in on average? From what different sources is it coming in? We're going to figure out your baseline, right? Like we've just jumped out of the airplane with a parachute. Where have we landed? Because once we have clarity about that, right? How much debt is there? All of that. Then we can chart a course forward. But we have to know with no judgment, with no shame. And so that's a big part of my job, right? Because we're not kind to ourselves. We feel shame about the $80,000 in debt. We also allow other people to give us shame. Sometimes people who love us, family, friends, right? we take on that guilt that how could we get into the situation? It's not about that. We have done the best we can with the information we have. You've been a courageous person to say, I need more information. And so now together, we're going to support you in getting that information so that we can powerfully move forward.
I think that's such a powerful part of the process, because so much of the time when there's something we don't want to look at, we don't want to see how bad it is. We don't want to know what that number is. We can in our mind make up that it's not that bad. And it's like you said, it takes tremendous courage to just say, let me just put pen to paper and let me just look at it and see what it is without making myself the bad person who got myself into this situation. Let me just see exactly what's here.
Let me just see exactly what's here. Absolutely. And the thing is that if hiding from it made us happy, then I'd be like, yeah, let's keep hiding, right? Like, if it was working, then we could talk about that. But it's not. Like, most of us, when it's not working, we feel sick all the time, right? Like, that energy is what we're carrying. So hiding from it isn't actually letting us be our full, expressive, most powerful selves. So since we've tried that, like, I'm saying, let's just bring it all, like, out into the light. And that's what I love about you guys, is you guys are like, let's own it all, like, our big, all of it, all of our beauty, right? All of our mess. Let's just look at it together.
It's so funny, because I think if we take shame off of the mess, then we can actually look at it and know what to do. And I love that you said that a lot of your work is to take shame off the table. Yeah. It's just information. It's just clarity so that we can move towards power. And I think a lot of the reasons people don't ever look at it or want to get clear is because they feel so much shame.
Yeah.
I think, you know, something Natalie and I often want to do when we're podcasting is like out ourselves. Like, let's talk about what I'm actually going through that's really messy so that we can all feel free to go, hey, we are often in the mess together, but maybe if we talk about it, we can find our way towards clarity.
Absolutely. Like, I feel like transparency is one of the most important parts of coaching, because it's when it comes to money, if everybody's so busy pretending we're fine, pretending, oh, there's no problem, right? Then we feel very much alone. But if we understand that as artists, as creatives, we signed up for an up and down journey, that's a part of what we chose. We could have chosen the journey that's like the paycheck comes every 2 weeks and there are benefits and there's like a 401k. And like, we could have chosen that road, but that road wasn't the adventure that we signed up for, right? I walked in, this was a few months ago, but I have a daughter and she's 17. She's in her senior year. And, you know, she did a lot of traveling this summer and she really like finished her junior year, went off to travel and then came back and like started her senior year. And there was no breathing, right? And I walked into her room and it just hit my heart because, I mean, her room was a disaster zone. I mean, like, no joke, like suitcases and clothes hanging in and books from junior year and new school supplies. And she paints and there were, I mean, it was just like a disaster zone. But when I walked in, she was literally sitting at her desk and she was just looking at it. Like, she was just looking at the mess with this, like, just pain. Like, it just really touched my heart. And I said to her, sweetheart, do you want me to get you some help with this, right? And she looked around and she was like, yes. right? Yes, right? And I got on TaskRabbit, like I'd never done this before, and I got on TaskRabbit, and this wasn't about getting someone in to clean her room for her, not at all. Like, we got someone amazing who showed up with this energy and was like, come on, sweetheart, let's go to work. And the two of them, in like 6 hours, turned that room into a thing of beauty. They had music playing. And to me, that is what I do with people with money. Like, it's like, let's just go to work and let's create an energetic space that like lets us do what we're here to do. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's it. Creating the energetic space, the container by which we can be the artists that we came here to be, setting ourselves up with the foundation so then we can just fly and play and do our dharma, do our purpose on the planet.
Do our dharma, do our purpose. Because my daughter could not do her purpose in that room. There was no way, right? And we keep trying, like we keep trying to do it in the room, but we got to create the order and the structure to do it. And it does not have to be painful at all.
It's so funny. Rob Bell says, you have to act as if whatever it is you're doing is the most important thing in the world. Whatever art you're doing, whatever your dharma is, you act like that's the most important thing and set your life up, organize your life to serve that thing. So, and that requires, so it's a way of honoring what you came to this planet to do. I know I came to the planet to do this thing. I'm going to put it front and center. And now I'm going to set up my life so that everything around it honors what I came here to do.
Yes, absolutely.
It's a way of, I think, creating a reverential spirit towards yourself and that what then that is closest to your heart.
Right.
And I think in that spirit, it creates the container where we get to say, if I was given this talent inside my body, if I was given this thing to express, this art that wants to be born through me, then part of my job in that expression is setting myself up so I can do that. And I know you mentioned earlier about this starving artist thing. And yeah. I think many of us, I've heard this all my life. I know Kristen and I've talked about this a lot. Why do you think there is this idea that artists have to starve and suffer when we've been given this incredible gift to share with the planet?
It's a really great question, honestly. And it's something that is a part of like my actual research and study. Like, I think it goes back literally thousands of years, right? To this idea that the artist sort of had to find a, what you call it? You had to find a patron, right? And the patron would allow you to do your art and would basically give you a handout that would allow you to do your art. And so if you failed to find a patron, then you were just sort of shit out of luck, right? Which meant you were just basically gonna be the starving artist until someone saw your talent and decided to bestow upon you, right, their grace that would support you and give you food and shelter. And so I do think it started there. And I think that then what sort of caught on was the kind of rags to riches Cinderella story that we do kind of love, right? So that it was this idea that there was grace in the suffering and that then you, if you were willing to suffer enough, then you might be plucked from that suffering. And I just think that those become very powerful myths that we hang on to and that I then think other people tell. So I think, you know, I think it's a rare person who comes home today and says to their mom and dad, I want to be a painter. I want to be an actor. I want to be a dancer or a musician. And their mom and dad are like, yay, woohoo, like, yes, right? What really happens for most is that, like, the parent kind of dies a little inside, right? Like, oh, really? Really, Kristen? Really, Natalie? Could you do anything else? And I want that to stop. I really do. I want your child comes home and says they want to do whatever they want to do, that we are able to embrace that with joy, because it's about teaching people how to support their dreams, whatever those dreams are, right? Not that some dreams are powerful and some dreams are scary and risky. And no, it's like, how do you powerfully support whatever it is that you're called to do? So I think the shifting of the starving artist paradigm, just it is going to be deep and it's going to require work. I call on us, all of your listeners, we have to really look at the story we keep telling, right? So when you have an actor who gets a break, right? And then in every publication, they run the same story, which is so-and-so actor had 32 cents in their bank account when they finally made it, right? And so-and-so lived on couches and park benches before they we have to, I believe, really stop telling that story, because it's not a powerful story. And what it is saying is that there's causation, that it's because I was willing to get down to 32 cents that I'm now successful, as opposed to simply like, I happen to have 32 cents and I'm successful, because we know there are a kajillion stories of people who sadly got down to 32 cents and now they're back home living in Kansas, like being a legal secretary. You know what I mean? And so we've got to stop making suffering the road to success, because it isn't.
I could not agree more. In terms of also, I've heard so many artists say, well, I'm an addict, or I have these spots in myself, but I can't heal them because then I won't have anything to bring to my art. And it's like, it's that same flawed story that you actually came into this planet with this divine gift inside of you. And it was here long before any of the other stuff. And actually, our job is to keep the channel the most clear, the most open, to keep the foundation the strongest, so that when it's time to step up to the plate, like, we have the most strength, the most capacity, the most stamina, that we can bring the most of ourselves to it. And all of these stories of, I have to suffer for my art, or I have to be sick for my art, or I have to be an addict for my art, I think we have to take charge to dismantle these stories. Because like you said, for every story that we've heard where that's a good thing or that works out for someone, there are all the stories we don't hear where it was the death of the artist or the detriment of the artist.
Yeah. And the stories we've seen, particularly it feels like in the last 5 years, the lives that have ended way before they were supposed to end, if that's not the sort of universe telling us that this suffering, right, that has been underneath the brilliance, cannot be allowed to just be there. I know I'm not speaking eloquently about it, but it's like we in a way have celebrated their suffering that then literally ended their lives. And so if there's not a clearer message to stop doing that, I don't know what is.
Yeah, we're called to heal that suffering, right? To put it, bring it into the light so that it can be healed. Mm-hmm. Like why so many people are talking about mental illness right now, because we know there has to be a better way. I wanted to ask you, Miata, about, it seems that there's a lot of myths about money, or as we talk about like limited beliefs about people have about money. They could be inherited. They could come from their parents. But when people come and they start to work with you and do your programs, what are stories that you see over and over again?
Oh, so many. So, you know, I do believe that mindset matters most, right? Mm-hmm. I do. At the core, I think that there are absolutely practical, hard, fast things that we need to be doing around the management of our money, around our numbers, around knowing and having clarity. And it also really is about the mind work, right? And so most of my programs start with that mindset work, and that mindset work, you have to carry it throughout, right? I'm not going to do the history right, but you know, however many years ago, it was believed that it was impossible to run a 4-minute mile, right? And they literally like said, it's physically impossible, right? And then when the first guy ran the 4-minute mile, like over the next year, all these people did it, right? And it's crazy. And then like over the next 5 years, like hundreds of people did it. And it's like, so was there this new wave of like superhuman people? No, it was that the idea that we can't was shattered. And then we all, not me, I still can't run a 4-minute mile, right? But all these people were then like, oh, I can do that. And so what we have to look at around money is, what are all the things you believe you can't do, right? What are all the things you believe are true that you've decided is fact that is not necessarily fact, right? And is that belief system serving you in any way? So if I believe, here's a common one, I cannot make money doing anything other than acting, or I'm not an actor, I'm not a real actor, right? That's a common belief. So I can do these other like little secret things, these little quiet things that don't count really at all, and I'm not going to talk about them, and then I'm still really an actor. But the minute I do anything powerfully, oh boy, right? I'm less than.
Well, that's so funny, because if you think of so many actors, once they're famous, start companies in other places, right? So all of a sudden, you have Gwyneth Paltrow doing Goop and Jessica Alba doing her line and Jessica Simpson making a gazillion dollars. It's so funny that, like, why are we afraid of abundance?
What? Exactly. Why have we decided Miata actor needs to be in this tiny little box that is just actor? Natalie, actor, little box. Kristen, director, little box, right? But yet, here's what we know. Like, we literally have been put on this planet with gifts beyond belief, ways that we can be of service that are so powerful, stories we can tell, lives we can change. And so we got to get out of the boxes. And so when we look at all of those examples, those people you just gave us, who like, why have I said, okay, well, yeah, once you're a successful director, once you're a successful actor, then you're allowed to sort of branch out. That to me is total nonsense. Like, it's like, we need to own all of our power from the get-go. So I feel like that is definitely a belief system that I'm constantly asking people to look at. And I'm constantly asking people to question, because if we can get out of the box, then it just becomes, if you come to me and the only way you're willing to make money is either painting or doing some little secret thing over here that we won't talk about at all. Well, now that makes the job kind of challenging, because we're in a really small box. If we can get you out of that and really start looking at all of the power you have, the possibilities become endless to start embracing and bringing abundance into your life.
And now what about people who may have the reverse problem, who say, well, this job over here, it pays me so well, but it sucks my soul and I don't have any time to devote to my acting, but I don't make any money as an actor, so I can't really do that thing, because there's like this block of like, I make money doing all the things I don't like doing, but then the one place where I have like a lot of passion, I don't seem to be able to make any money at it.
Right. So, Elizabeth Gilbert, she says it really, really well, where she talks about how she made the decision, right, that she would not burden her art with the need to make money, okay? And I won't, you know, you have to go find it and read how she says it, but I don't believe that that's remotely saying I don't deserve to make money from my art, or that, right? It's just saying I'm not going to put this weight on my art that says you must support me, right? Because that's a really heavy weight that I feel like isn't fair, right? But Natalie, that only partially addresses your question, because the thing that you said is you said the person is over here making money at something they don't like, right? At something that, like I think you actually said, is sort of draining their energy, sucking their soul, right? And so we have to actually look at that, because it's not that this thing isn't your art. It's that you chose a thing that is sucking your soul, right? So what your belief system is that my art gives me energy and joy, but doesn't make me money. And so I must make money at things that suck the life right out of me, right? And those are two belief systems that are not true. It's just what you've decided. And so you've gone out and found proof to support it. So I'm not going to be the person who's like, quit that job that's sucking your soul, right? I know Kristen and I, we might slightly disagree here, right? Because what I don't want you to do is to now throw yourself into panic and we can't pay our bills, because that also isn't going to serve our art. Mm-hmm. But what we do need to really do is we need to look at where else can money come into your life, and how open are you to what possibilities exist, and what are all of your gifts, and what are all of the ways that you can generate cash. And, you know, because then I feel like what we do is we start to absolutely segue you out of this thing that is clearly not making you happy. And one last piece that I want to say about that is, what are you actually doing where your art is concerned? What are you actually doing? Because sometimes what happens is that we say, oh, you know, I'm over in this job and this job is sucking the life right out of me. And there is a bit of a victim mindset that has now also caused us to ignore and not nurture our art. Mm-hmm. So why have I decided that the 8 hours that I'm doing over here at this job means that I can't still give 2 hours of writing or craft work or, you know, something that feeds and fuels my artist self as well. So in a way, you know, yes, it's not making money, but what are you doing to build it, to nurture it? Does that make sense?
Oh, so much sense. And I have another question, which is, you know, I know that if you don't heal your beliefs around money, even if your financial situation changes, you won't be able to hold on to it. Does that make sense? And I don't mean that in terms of hoarding. I mean it in terms, and I'll give a really personal example from my life. I got to a phase where I started having more abundance and making more money. And I noticed I seem to have more bills. I seem to have more surprise things coming out of the bank account. So in the end, it was kind of like, oh, I think I have to address a belief system around receiving, because even if there's more inflow coming in, there's also the ability to be able to have it, to receive it.
Absolutely. I think that's so well said. I think that I believe we all have a relationship with money, right? You've basically had a relationship with money from the day you were born, and you will have that relationship until you die. And it's not a relationship that you have choice around. You will have it, right? So if it's a relationship that you must have, then the question is it going to be a healthy relationship, or is it going to be an unhealthy one, right? Mm. And I always use this example, which is that I'm actually married 22 years, which is like, you know, incredible to me. We're married 22 years. And it's even more incredible because we got married 3 months after we met. So yeah, I know, but that's another whole story. But so we're married 22 years. But I can't say to you, right, Natalie and Kristen, I can't say, yeah, married 22 years, like, that's all good. I don't have to worry about that anymore. I don't have to take care of him anymore, right? Like, it's all good, right? Because then you know what would happen. The marriage would fall apart, right? We know that, like, the relationship takes nurturing. The mistake that we make with our money is we think that the quality of the relationship has to do with how much we have. And that is not true. So I think I have a good relationship when I've got lots of money, and I have a bad relationship when I have none, or I have a little bit of money. I have a good relationship when I have no debt. I have a bad relationship when I have lots of debt. That is not true. So whatever relationship you had before the money started coming in is exactly the same relationship you had when the money started coming in. So the money didn't magically solve problems, right? And so what we have to look at, yes, I believe you said my ability to receive, right? How have you set up? What's the atmosphere you've set up to receive, right? So let's say that right now I'm in a space where I'm really struggling. And you say to me, Miata, how much do you spend on groceries every week? And I'm like, I don't know, maybe five, I don't know how much I spend, right? And you're like, okay, how much do you spend at restaurants? I don't know, right? I'm just making stuff up. Okay, then now I have a lot of money, right? Lots of money, I've booked a job, there's lots coming in. You say to me, how much are you spending on groceries? I still don't know. How much are you spending on restaurants? I don't know, right? So all that's going to happen is that the same way that money just kind of disappeared when I had a little, money is still just gonna kind of disappear now that I have a lot, because I'm treating it the same way, right? So if I expect and want to welcome abundance, am I willing to set up the environment for abundance regardless of what I have? What most of us are saying is, oh, you send me that abundance. I promise. I'll treat it well. I'll be good to that. No, you won't, because you're not treating it well, whatever little bit you're given. You're not treating that well. And yet magically, right? Am I willing to learn about investing when I have little to no money? Am I willing to learn? If I'm not, do I believe that magically when I have lots of money, I'm going to be a good investor? No, of course I'm not. I'm going to invest in stupid shit. I really am, right? Because
of course.
Oh, totally.
That's not, I have to be willing to say, how does one invest money wisely? Whatever I've got, right? So those are all of the ways that I think if we honor, truly honor what we have right now, and you guys speak to this all the time, look at the abundance that's right here, treat that well, right? Then more will come and I will also treat that well.
I love that so much because it's like, you know, people think they're treating their body, like people treat their bodies however they want, right? You kind of eat how you want, you work out or you don't. And then like all of a sudden, if you get sick, you're like, oh yeah, maybe I need to clean that up, right? But it's like, it kind of doesn't matter. Like people either have that mindset around a certain kind of health or not. They you kind of treat yourself the same no matter what. Same with a relationship. It's like, oh, that person's in a relationship. They must be good. They must be healthy, right? This person's not in a relationship. They must be bad at relationships, but you're right. You can be in a relationship and be much more sick than being out of one and vice versa. Absolutely. And so it's really changing those, that mindset. Like you said, it all comes down to mindset and knowing that money is a relationship, just like your body's a relationship, your friendships, your romantic partner, and your dream, your art. And you need to keep all of those relationships clear so that you can be the artist you're here to be.
It makes me think that, like, you know, we talk about the importance of a morning practice, but even having just a little morning practice gives you a chance to check in with those relationships. How's my relationship with my body? How's my relationship with my money? How's my relationship with my dharma? And what might need to change or shift to improve those relationships? Or what's my relationship like with my romantic partner, my family, my friends? A way so that we stay it Miata, as you talk about, there's those two cycles. How do we stay in that power part of our lives instead of the pain? And Miata, the other, when we're talking on Friday, you quoted the Buddha about there's four different kinds of people in the world. And I would love for you to share that with our audience.
Yeah, this, when I learned this, this for me just resonated so powerfully. Buddha said that there are four kinds of people. He said that there are people who are in darkness, running towards darkness. He said there are people who are in light, who are running towards darkness. And then he said there are people who are in darkness, who are running towards light, and people who are in light, who are running towards light. And that our job is to make sure that we are always one of those last two groups of people. Because sometimes we are going to be or feel that we're in darkness, but we have to stay bound to and headed for light. And that takes community. It takes support and reading and practice, meditation, yoga, journaling, whatever it is that keeps you bound for light, right? So that for me has just become such a like guiding principle, because I think I want to just always be in the light, right? That's what we want. We want to always be in the light. And sometimes that's not how life works. But if we're committed to being people who are bound for the light, always headed for the light, then that, I think, will have a serious impact on the way we move through the world.
Mm. Well, if you are the light that someone wants to bound towards, how can people find you if they want to work with you or your beautiful things that you're creating? And how might they reach out to you if they wanted that support or to just learn more about what you're doing?
What we're doing. So abundancebound.com. That's the name of our company, abundancebound.com. And, you know, guys, Abundance Bound is 16 years old. But for the last 2 years, what I have been so just all focused on creating is I've been looking to how do we address, Kristen, what you said a few moments ago, which is making our financial relationship a part of our daily practice, right? How do we do that? And I have wanted to create really your money gym, the money gym for actors, artists, and creative professionals. And so we just launched in August our financial empowerment program. And I was super passionate about this has to be crazy affordable, right? Because I don't want your challenges with money to be the reason why you're not doing this work, right? Mm. And that has always been what I've had to kind of negotiate and struggle with, because private coaching is valuable, but it's expensive, right? And even classes can be pricey. So anyway, we now have the Financial Empowerment Program, which is a membership. And it's a monthly membership. It's $25 a month to be a member and to have weekly Q&As and guest speakers. So Kristen was a guest speaker. Natalie, you're going to have to come be a guest speaker for us. And we have coursework so that you can really learn like the nuts and bolts and practicality of what you need to do with your money. We have mindset. We have a mindset course that you go through that is really 6 weeks. And all of that is included in the membership. So I want there to be a way for people to just be able to stay connected. And what I did just for you guys as listeners is if they are interested in being members and they choose the mastery level, which is $25 a month, if they put in create podcasts, so that's what I did. If they put in create podcasts, then their membership will, as long as they're members, will always be $20 a month. So,
oh, abundance!
Yay. It's already here.
So that's all they have to do is when they select the there'll be a box that'll pop up and they'll put in all caps, create podcast. And then the membership will be 20, not $5 off 1 month, but like forever, $5 off.
Okay. Oh, that's so generous of you. And thank you so much. I know that so many of our listeners and myself will all sign up.
I know. Who doesn't want that in their life? And Miata, finally, before we let you go, because I never want to let you go, will you share with all of us how you define abundance?
Yeah. So thank you. For me, I genuinely love the name of my company. Like I feel that it was a gift. And can I just tell the little story? Because I feel like it's so important. Like I was trying to come up with a name for my company, and this is like 17 years ago. And I was sitting in a hotel room and my girlfriend was in the bed next to me and she was doing her own work. And I said to her, Wealth Bound, right? Wealth Bound, what do you think? just like, ah. And she said, look up the URL, right? Because you got to make sure that the website is available. And I am so freaking grateful that I plugged in Wealthbound and it was taken. And I'm so glad because, of course, that's not what I meant. That's not what I wanted my company to be. And like, it was taken. And so I sat there and like 2 seconds later, like this stroke of lightning, I was like, Abundance Bound. And it wasn't taken. And the reason for me is that Abundance Bound, it is not about wealth or riches or a certain amount of money. It truly is about freedom and light. It's about being bound for, right? So headed towards, and also bound to, literally connected to our freedom and our light, right? And so as artists and as creatives, what our mission as a company is to help you have that maximum freedom and light that supports your dharma, that supports what you are here to do. So that's what abundance means to me.
Thank you so much. It's such a pleasure to meet you and to hear you. And it's such an inspiration to hear that from your rock bottom until now was a switch in your mind. You know, it was just that conscious switch to tell a new story and to just keep on telling that new story and then to want to share that new story with others. It's the ultimate act of generosity to use your gifts and talents to share with so many others, so many other artists, as you specifically know, because you are an artist as well. So it's such a special gift and it's such an honor that you shared it with us today.
Natalie and Kristen, thank you guys. Thank you for having me today. And thank you for doing this work and for doing it with so much love and fun that you guys just make people smile. And I love that. I love that.
We love you. And your dedication to this work just leaves me in awe. And you are such a force of light in the world. And you're also really hot.
Well, true. True. So listeners, if you want to find out more and if you want to get your special discount code, all caps, create podcast into abundancebound.com to join the membership. And thank you so much. And we look forward to talking with you more.
Thank you so much for listening. We love to feel like we have friends all over the world in you who are committed to doing their dream on the planet.
Like this podcast and you want to find out more about what we're doing or who we are, our pop-up classes, our online classes, you can check all of that out at thecreateseries.com.
And if you want to be part of our Facebook community, you can go to the Create Community page. That's C.R.E.A.T. Community.
And if you loved this podcast, why not share it with a friend?